You're listening to a podcast from funnyinthemiddle.com.
Hi, we dig music, and because of this, we've kept the music in our podcast at a low background level because we believe that you should support the artist by buying their records and going to their gigs. If you want to hear the songs in full, we've made Spotify playlists of all available music featured in each episode, which you can find on funnyinthemiddle.com. You can also join in the discussion on Facebook and Twitter by searching at WeDigMusicPcast. Finally, if you dig what you're hearing, please subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice, write a review if possible, and tell all your friends that you think would enjoy it. Anyway, enough of my yakking, on with the podcast.
Hello and welcome to We Dig Music. I'm Tracy and with me are my comrades and co-hosts, Ian.
Hello.
And Colin.
Hello.
We have reached V in the alphabet this episode.
Bloody hell.
Yes.
V already.
That's nearly at the end of the alphabet.
Van Morrison.
No. His brother.
The Vandellas.
Van.
Helen. And so, as we usually do, we've taken two bands beginning with that letter. One lesser known and one better known. For our lesser known band this time, we will be discussing VNV Nation.
Goth.
Cyber goth.
And
indeed.
For the better known band,
and
much
band,
to my disgust,
I'm going
to
fight you.
We are going to be discussing Van Halen.
Van motherfucking Halen. Yes.
Yes.
I like Van Halen.
Do you?
Yeah.
So who chose VNV Nation?
That was me.
Please tell us something about them.
Okie dokie then.
Not just one thing. That's
yes.
It. New format. It's going to be a really short podcast. One thing about
okay. The lead singer's called Ronan.
Yeah, but let's get into that in a minute.
Okay. Are a European, no, English,
yep.
Alternative electronic project led by Ronan Harris.
Hold on. England, Britain,
yeah.
Is in Europe.
Yes.
Fuck all that fucking Farage box.
Yes, no, like, sorry, I wasn't. Wait, let's read.
I know you're not.
No, right.
But that's not what he meant.
You're just being more specific.
Yeah, like it seemed a bit fucking vague.
Yeah.
Right.
I think it's
VNV Nation are a band from the planet Earth.
Yeah.
But I think maybe they've said that because he's from
London. No, he's Irish.
He's from Dublin, isn't he?
Yeah, but they're based in London.
He lives in Hamburg, doesn't he?
He does now.
Oh.
But they were originally formed in London. Mark Jackson, the live drummer who left very recently, like November last year, used to work for Microsoft.
Right.
Okay.
Well, so.
Okay.
Like they're geeks.
You can tell.
Yes. It is a. Apparently, I'm not sure I'd have gone this flowery with this description, but yeah, their sound blends poetic and thought-provoking lyrics with melodic dance beats and indie electronic anthems.
They've written that themselves, haven't
haunting
they?
Ballads and post-classical soundtrack pieces. There you go.
They've edited their own fucking Wikipedia there, haven't they?
Maybe a touch. Although, I don't know, because we saw that lyric video earlier and No, we didn't. I watched that last night.
I was going to say, I've not seen the lyric video.
No, you didn't.
Basically, there's a lot of people involved that are, like, not involved, but into them that are a little bit pretentious and artsy and stuff like that. So I'm sure
it
was written
by... Well, they're a cyber goth band, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, like, it sounds... It's good, listenable dance music with good lyrics is what I like about it. Like, I've always liked dance music, but I hate the bollocks lyrics.
No. Exactly. No, there's no lyrics.
And it's like, let's combine that kind of music with actual songs, with verses and choruses and shit.
Well, I'd never heard of them before. I'd not even heard the name.
No.
And because I knew it was your choice when I started listening to the playlist...
Just assumed they were going to be a lot noisier than they are.
I had steeled myself for new metal.
God damn it. I don't even like new metal.
And I was pleasantly surprised. because not only had I previously listened to the one new metal choice of yours and liked them,
yes.
This one wasn't even new metal.
Yes.
I've described them as, firstly, I've put the surprisingly British VNV Nation, because listening to them, they sound like they're from fucking Latvia or something. I like them, but I've described them as, like, somebody from Eastern Europe decided Depeche Mode weren't goth enough.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Like, there was a lot of stuff coming out of, like, Sweden and wherever Apocryphal Berserk are from. I think that's Sweden, isn't it?
I think so.
And Germany, obviously Germany.
Germany, yeah. Definitely. Poland, there's a fair bit from that kind of area.
But America as well. Like, it was a really big scene at the time that came out, like, early 2000s.
It's for people that aren't familiar with it, it's music that's come from a industrial sort of background.
Yes.
But it's turning up the synth pop and, like, trance sort of element to
it. Yeah, VNV described themselves as future pop, which I kind of like.
Yeah.
I prefer that to EBM.
Which is... The reason EBM isn't used much anymore is because it sounds too much like EDM.
Yes.
Because EBM is electric body music.
Yeah, which is just a shit genre.
It's the most pretentious fucking...
Yeah. I mean, like, I can see why, right? Because the dancing involved is very, like, militant and martial arty looking. But when it's done... Right, I went to see a band called Assemblage 23, who are very much in the same ballpark, but much more depressing. And because of the really, like, dodgy martial arts style dancing, but it's very rhythmic and it was flashing and stuff, it looked like the floor of the venue was becoming electrified to the beat. So people were just like, just being shocked into these fucking poses, which was hilarious to me.
If any of you are unfamiliar with the way that goths dance...
There are many YouTube videos.
Go on YouTube.
Have you ever seen that YouTube video of the cyber goths in an underpass dancing?
Yes.
And they've overdubbed it to Thomas the Tank Engine
theme. Yes, I have.
Well, it's a meme. They've overdubbed it with loads of different things. But
I've seen the Thomas the Tank Engine one,
I think, was the original.
What were they actually dancing to?
Was it Combi Christ?
Yeah, I think it was Combi Christ.
Right.
This shit will fuck you up, I believe.
Yeah.
There's another one of a... There's a band called Grendel. There's the track called Soil Bleed, which is a really angry dance music song, really angry. And there's a video of these two dudes dancing, and they're like, they're in a graveyard dancing. They're on some train tracks dancing, and it's very, very like.
Is that the one with the shopping trolleys?
No. There's one where they're just in a children's playground dancing.
Yes.
And there's just children going down the slide, and there's these two dudes just fucking pounding it out, just doing these, like, amazing dance moves.
Really skinny, pale goth dudes.
Yep. Just, dancing, like, super very, very aggressive. Hardcore. Like, someone had even got, like, there was a breath mask.
Alternate mask.
Yeah. All kinds. But, oh, God, the shopping trolley video is the best. I'd forgotten all about that.
Moving the shopping trolley forwards and backwards in a rhythmic fashion.
In time with the beat.
I haven't seen that one.
It's so good. But... See, that's the thing, right? There's a lot of people that take the whole cybergoth thing incredibly seriously, as goths are wont to do.
Well, yes.
And then there's a lot of people who do not take it seriously in the fucking slightest. Like, VNV are those guys. You don't think that, right? Because their lyrics are really, really, like, thought-provoking and pretty beautiful in places.
Well, they remind me of, like, My Dying Bride sort of lyrics. Which are, they're a goth doom metal band. That was the kind of level of somber. It's the kind of thing that you can imagine, that there's certain songs that you could imagine a really pretentious goth insisting that this song be played at their funeral.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, did I say to put Carbon on the playlist? I didn't.
Carbon was on the playlist, I think. I've definitely listened to Carbon anyway.
It's not on my list.
That's okay. Really, anyway. Really dark.
Yeah.
And sludgy.
But you say they're not serious.
No.
I got the impression they were quite earnest.
Lyrically,
I mean, well, right down to VNV apparently stands for Victory Not Vengeance.
I hope we weren't going to cover that, because that makes me feel a little bit sad, because that's so shit.
And that's apparently in keeping with the group's motto, which is one should strive to achieve, not sit in bitter regret.
Which, that's a good thing, right?
Absolutely, but it makes them sound quite earnest. It doesn't make them sound like a band who aren't taking this seriously.
No, there's like, they did a live tour video, like, you know, like all great rock bands do, like backstage stuff. And there's loads of really funny moments on there. Like, the drummer's gone to the roadie and gone, look, the step up to the stage, like to my riser, is really dark. I'm going to trip up, so could you do something? And then, like, he comes back to it later and says, look what this fucking prick has done. And he's taped around it in fluorescent, you know, just to make it look. And then also use tape to spell fuck off. Or there's a bit of, like, Ronan Harris, the singer, who's quite a portly chap, actually. When the first time you see a picture, you're like...
He sounds skinny.
I was surprised what he looked like, and then thought, no, I shouldn't be, because... He started out as he was an IT manager for a petrol company, and he looks like
an IT manager for a petrol company. Yeah, just he's like he reminds me of my friend Martin.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. I know Martin.
Yeah.
I did think that, because the band obviously ran sort of concurrently with him doing this job for a while.
Yeah.
So I just got this image of him, somebody phoning up with a problem with their email. And him going, okay, I'll just put you on hold.
And just playing his own music.
And then just playing his synth down there for 8 minutes. Just
people go, what was that hold music? It was banging. And he's like, that's my band. Check us out. But yeah, like, there's a bit of him going, here's how to make the perfect whiskey and Jack and Coke. And he's like, got his bottle of Coke. And he's like, first we pour some of the Coke away. Then he pours... whiskey into it, and then he's like, then you take a banana and you rub the banana around the rim, and then you throw the banana away, and he just hurls it over his shoulder, and they're just in this backstage area, you just hear it just crashing off all kinds of, like, it's just full of stuff like that, like legit just normal dudes on tour drunk.
Yeah.
Whereas
not quite Pantera level.
No, but like, you'd expect him to be there reading Nietzsche and stuff like that.
Yes,
you know, going,
definitely.
Man is ruined. Humanity is doomed. Why do I do these shows? To tell them that they are doomed. But no, that's not what they're like. And like, live, they're a fucking barrel of laughs. He's a really, really funny and engaging frontman.
They're actually touring later this year.
I would 100% recommend going and seeing
them. Fairly certain they're playing Birmingham.
They are. Yes, yeah. Island.
Yes.
Like walking distance from where we're recording this.
Cool.
It's about a 5 minute walk from here, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
It's really close.
I like the Asylum.
It's a good venue.
It's a good gritty venue.
We may go. Yeah. I think we might go to that.
I think we should go.
We should.
Like, I saw them once
podcast
and they were
dancing.
Fucking great.
I'm going to wear white clothes.
There was a point where, like, during the new metal thing, where all of the cyber goths were like, oh my god, they're all wearing black. We will wear fluorescent colours.
They're mad on the fluorescence, aren't
they? Yeah,
yeah. And the furry leg warmers. What are they about?
I don't really know.
So
it's a head scratcher. I was dating a cyber goth at the time when I was into VNV. I was not one.
I was
there in my partly shaved head and my Frontline Assembly shirt.
I've occasionally in the past gone in. Whenever you go to like Camden Market. I've been to Cyberdog.
Always going to Cyberdog.
And you just look around and go, oh, could I pull that off? No, I fucking couldn't.
Yeah,
no.
Could I pull that off? Yeah, mostly for me, I'll be like, I really like those trousers. They do not come in my size. Like, they have these enormous, voluminous, baggy things with pockets everywhere, but they're 32-inch waist.
That shop we had in Tamworth that closed down, Subculture.
Yeah, yeah.
They had some really nice stuff in there, and I just looked at it and thought, no, I wouldn't fit into any of that. I've never.
There's loads of fat goths. They should cater more for it.
No, because they're all wearing rubber.
True. Fair point.
It's an unforgiving fabric.
Did you know Ronan Harris did all the synthy bits on an AFI album?
Did you know that Davey Havok has released a Cybergoth album?
No.
Yeah.
I did actually listen. It was December Underground that he was on.
Him and Hunter, the bass player, did a Cybergoth album. And
doesn't surprise me.
You know that band that were like an ugly AFI?
AFI?
No, like the singer...
If Laura listens to this, I'm in fucking trouble now, aren't I?
Yeah. No, the singer... I can't remember what they were called, but they were like just basically like AFI, but the singer was way less attractive. He's called Will something, but he did a Cybergoth album as well called Will Control or something like that.
I think I've heard of that. I can't remember what the main band is.
No, me neither.
But, yeah, I had a listen to December Underground the other day. It's got Miss Murder on it, was the single, which I know. Fucking terrible album. It's really bad.
Yeah, but, you know.
But I really did enjoy some of the VMV Nation stuff. Future Perfect.
Future Perfect is a fucking great album. That's fantastic. My favourite.
Airships on
Airships
that
is
absolutely beautiful.
Song. I like that. There's some really nice arpeggios in that.
And it's so optimistic. Like, it's the... It's a song about waiting to see an airship.
They're pretty cool.
Yeah. And like, it's just super fucking positive, and you're like, God damn, this is amazing.
That song, Beloved.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
That was one of, I think,
really,
that,
really moving. I actually might have got something in my eye when I was
Well, I think that might have been one of the ones that I was thinking of where this goth character in my head was going up to people and everyone they meet going, this is the song that I want played at my funeral, thank you.
Yeah. But it's a beautiful song.
But it's really optimistic as well. Like it is a bittersweet song, is it not, Tracy?
Yes.
That's on the orchestral album that he did as well.
Yeah.
The orchestral version is just stunning.
I actually watched a video for Beloved on YouTube as well, and loads of people commenting underneath, really, really moved by it.
Really moved by this. I'd like it played at my funeral, please. It's next week. Please come. Thank you.
But then I went off... I got a bit distracted by a tangent, though.
Obviously. Tracy's tangents.
Really?
New feature.
Yeah.
It's not a new feature. It's been from episode zero.
It's just a feature now, though.
They've got a real crossover with someone, well, Front 242 and Nitza Ebb, so I went off and listened to a load of...
I think Tracy mentioning Front 242 is a feature.
It really
it
is.
It has come on, actually.
Like, anything with a drum machine in it sounds like Front 242 to Tracy.
Do you know what, though? I posted a video, I don't remember which one I've posted now, but I posted a VNV Nation video on Twitter and said, how have I not heard this band before?
Yeah.
And someone I know on there actually replied and said, I wish I'd still not heard this band. And I said...
They're an acquired taste, I think.
No, I mean, I said, don't you think this is a bit of a Front 242 thing? And he said, yeah, Front 242 on the Wenger bus.
Yeah, I think it does definitely...
So thanks for that, Will.
It strays into the... They don't give a fuck. They're like, yeah, it's dancey stuff.
Yeah, okay. There's definitely moments where it does sound like Too Unlimited for Goths.
Yeah.
Or at least Darude for Goths.
Yeah, you're thinking of Structure, aren't you?
Yes, I think so.
That is the most dancey one on the playlist, yeah. And that definitely is...
There was a scratchy, beepy techno.
Yeah.
There were a couple of tracks, because I listened to a few of the albums, like the full albums. I did quite like the... thought one thing that we might want to mention is the artwork is all quite...
Like, they've got a thing. They're dead on it.
What?
It's a bit constructivist, but
I think that's the word I was looking for.
But it's like 90...
It's almost like steampunk.
Yeah, it's like the 1920s futuristic...
It's like the Bioshock games.
Yeah, it is. It's really, really Art Deco and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Although there's a lot of sort of totalitarian and massive statues.
Well, it's because they're a like nation.
Country. Yes,
like they've got a thing. Like I'm not gonna lie. I think maybe the whole structure's ethos was a little bit influenced by this. I've only just realised.
He's just realised that he's ripped off a band.
Everyone rips off bands, yeah, mate. Like I've shamelessly ripped off Nine Inch Nails.
It's all right. VMV Nation were ripping it off from Stalin, so.
And where's the bad in that? Yeah.
Do you know, his voice, all the way through, I kept thinking his voice reminded me of someone.
Yes!
And then I finally decided, I think he sounds like Brian Malko.
No.
That is 100% not who I was thinking of.
Nope.
No,
because Brian Malko can't sing like this.
But there was something in the way his voice wavers sometimes that made me think Brian Malko.
Yeah, maybe, but Brian Malko down an octave.
The closest voice I could think of was the singer from Interpol. He's fairly similar in parts.
Okay. I would have gone with the singer from Editors, who's like Interpol but better.
Also, yeah, because they've got very, very similar voices. But then I was thinking about it earlier, and I meant to look this up. There's a band called Mordant Music.
Right.
There's a genre of music called hauntology.
Okay.
Which is fucking ace. It's all like it's like electronic type music, but it's influenced by like old 70s public information films.
And, oh wow, that sounds cool.
That sounds good.
You'd fucking dig it, seriously.
Yeah.
But there's an album, I think it's called Dead Air by Mordant Music.
Yeah.
Where it's a concept album about where they've got an old he's an old TV continuity announcer who's just sort of speaking throughout the entire record. But then there's one song with sung vocals at the end, and I realised that it really, really sounds like Ronan from VMV Nation. And I meant to look up to see if it was him, because they're both coming from a similar sort of area. I didn't have time, so it might actually be him. If not, he sounds like the... It's I think the track's called Folded Faces or something like that.
Okay.
I also thought in parts his voice sounded like Michael Stipe.
Occasionally a little bit.
Mm. Where it was kind of a bit fragile and distant.
Yeah, I can kind of see that.
Just a little bit less American.
Yeah.
Like, he's got a good voice, and it's a genuinely emotional voice.
Yeah.
Like... Even the strident, like, we are fucking powerful. Blah, blah. It's like he really is super passionate about it, which is great. I like it. I get really invested in them because of... Like, the music's
so
pretty
invested.
Cool, and he is clearly the most committed vocalist. Like, he's just really into it. A lot of the Cybergoth stuff is a bit like... Yeah, I'm like this man. He's like, yes, this is happening. I am fucking in.
It's either like that.
His vocals are very direct.
Yes.
They're either like that, or the other Cybergoth things are almost black metal. So, you know, things like Combi Christ.
Yeah, like overly processed vocals and. Yeah. But like Apoptygma Berserk, I like them, but they're never that emotive.
They're probably the closest sort of. Contemporaries to them though, aren't they?
Yeah. Assembly's 23 definitely as well. And there's a lot of bands that no one's ever heard of that are similar.
When I was younger and in my sort of gothier, my goth side was all The Cure, Bauhaus, and then the more industrial Nine Inch Nails, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I never really realised even that there was this whole Cybergoth techno side to it until I went to do you remember that goth club in Nottingham that we went to? And they were playing that Sunglasses at Night track, and they were playing some sort of like it was when the sort of electro clash scene was sort of around, so like early 2000s, and they were playing quite a lot of that kind of thing, and I was like, I was not expecting to hear any of this at all. This is cool, and there's a bloke with an angle grinder. That's weird.
Oh yeah, because you went to the one where Leech Woman played, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And Sixth were there.
Yes.
It was weird. It was for my birthday.
Yeah.
Because we'd been and seen Sixth and American Head Charge.
How long ago was this?
A while.
Yeah.
A while.
Okay.
I think probably 17 years ago, maybe.
I don't think it was that long. It was whenever the first American Head Charge album was out.
I think that was 2003.
Well, so it was a while ago, getting, like 15.
So 15 okay. years ago. Yeah,
yeah, like yeah, because I got a Sixth T-shirt on because I saw them the day before.
Yeah.
And then they came up to me and were like, oh my God, where did you get that shirt? And I'm like, saw you yesterday. And I'm like, oh, that's fucking cool, man. Thanks. Okay, that's weird. Excellent. But yeah, then we just stuck around at this, like, hardcore cyber goth club. Which was great.
It was like in a hotel, wasn't it? And it really looked out of place.
Yeah.
It was quite cool.
Yeah, but so you never went upstairs in Eddie's then, to the goth floor of Eddie's?
I never went to Eddie's that often.
Ah.
Excel's is the main one I used to go to.
Yeah, see, Eddie's was the best for that because, like, downstairs you'd got all of the obvious stuff.
I think I only ever went on that floor in Eddie's, the main floor with the just general rock
stuff. Yeah, the upstairs with the goth stuff was great.
Like, okay. I don't think I realised there was an upstairs.
Yep.
See, this is after my time goth-wise.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I was really umming and ahhing whether you'd like it, because it's definitely goth,
but
it's out of your wheelhouse as a general thing.
But it's very Depeche Mode at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
It is. I mean, I'd got down that one track, Legion. I thought that was quite Depeche Mode. Really catchy. In fact, actually, I got up and had a bit of a dance around.
That was the one that got me into them.
Got a bit of a boogie.
Got up and had a bit of a dance around the spare room to that.
Amazing. Anything else anybody wants to say?
No, I'm just surprised I've done two bands on the bounce that Tracy has liked.
I really like them. Although, I did see a review, which made me laugh, that said that VNV Nation are electronic music for people that don't listen to electronic music, but secretly like hearing Sandstorm at their high school dances.
Yeah, totally.
And they said you can hide it behind dark lyrics and vocals, but at its core, it's just goofy, unoriginal trance.
I thought that was a little unfair, but
like early VNV for sure. But like,
well, they were more industrial.
When you're looking at Future Perfect, that is not the case because there's a lot of.
It's got good
interesting
songs on
shit.
It.
Also, you know that was the first album that they did that was just all software instruments.
Right, okay.
There's not a real synth on that entire album.
Okay.
It sounds really organic places.
One thing that I did want to mention, that when I was doing my research, I was on Reddit and I just searched VNV Nation on there and found some dude from about 3 years ago that had put a mashup up of a VNV Nation track that I can't remember
Was Structure, I think.
It was Structure, because it was the instrumentally type one.
Yeah.
That's in 6/8 with a Kanye West track.
It's Black Skinhead, isn't it?
It was Black Skinhead from Yeezus, which was... and I clicked on it and the link was dead and I was like, oh, shit. So I sent the guy a message and he emailed me a copy of it and it is fucking brilliant.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
It's really, 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 really good.
And it fits perfectly as well. Because it just starts off with the VNV thing and then there's that the real little high pitched weird whaley samples from the Kanye one and you're like, oh yeah.
Yeah. And it makes me think that the next Kanye West album
should be a collaboration with VNV Nation.
He needs to go cybergoth.
Yes.
I think he'd be up for that. I think he'd dig that.
Absolutely.
Because he's completely fucking insane.
Yep. I reckon we should just write to him.
If you are listening, Mr. West, that is the way forward.
Yes. Wake up, Mr. West.
Shall we talk about Van Halen then?
Yes.
If we must.
We're going to. We fucking are.
And we'll be enthusiastic about it as well.
Yes.
I'm going to make you listen to Eruption before we start doing it.
So, yeah, Van Halen. Van Halen, or to give them their correct title, Van Motherfucking Halen, are an American hard rock band formed in Pasadena, California in 1972 by Dutch brothers Eddie Van Halen on guitar, Alex Van Halen on drums, bassist Michael Anthony, and originally vocalist Diamond Dave Lee Roth.
Yes.
Which is his correct name, unlike in Wikipedia where it just says David Lee Roth. But we'll probably just call him Dave Lee Roth because he's fucking
brilliant. Dave. Or just call him Dave.
Yeah.
I feel like we're all allowed to just be that familiar with him.
I think he'd be cool with that.
Yeah.
He seems like a dude, you know.
Yeah.
He was their vocalist for the first six albums until he left and Sammy Hagar joined on vocals.
The Red Rocker.
The Red Rocker.
It's a ridiculous name.
Yes. They kind of had a bit of a change at that point where they sort of were a bit more serious.
Yeah.
Some would say not as good. I quite like, there's a lot of good stuff after that. There's some really good songs. I definitely prefer Dave Lee Roth. And then later on, Gary Cherone from Extreme joined for one album.
Yep.
But fuck that.
I've never dared listen to it. Like, I quite like Extreme.
I did the other day. It's shite. It's fucking bollocks.
Oh.
But yeah, Van Halen, one of the most important hard rock metal bands
of all time. It's indisputable.
In the Ozzy Osbourne episode where we were talking about Black Sabbath, Black Sabbath, the fucking originators of heavy metal.
Mm-hmm.
But then metal kind of branched off, and I would say one of the next most influential bands is Van Halen.
Yeah.
All of the sort of American LA metal sort of style came from them.
All of the showboating, overplaying guitarists.
Absolutely.
Were trying to be Eddie Van Halen.
Yeah.
Mostly failing.
And I mean, Tracy's already, in between recording, has already groaned when we mentioned Eruption.
Yeah.
Which is, Eruption, for people that aren't familiar, is a track on the first Van Halen album, where it's basically, it's a really short track, it's about a minute and a half.
Yeah.
And it's just a guitar solo.
142 to be precise.
Yes. It's just a guitar solo with double-handed tapping.
Yeah. But it was 1978 when that happened, wasn't it? Or 79?
Yeah. I think it was 78, the album. Maybe earlier than that.
But that was like the first recorded evidence of someone ripping like that on a guitar. Like, I can't imagine how blown your mind would have been in that.
It's now, it just sounds like, oh, that's someone just playing a wiggly guitar solo.
Yeah.
Which is why Tracy doesn't like it. But it is there as a historical artifact.
Yeah, like, up until that point, the person that ripped the most was, like, Hendrix.
Yeah.
And this is a guy playing at, like, a million more notes than Hendrix ever played.
People thought it was a synthesizer.
Yeah.
People didn't believe it was a guitar because nobody had played anything like that.
Yeah,
just
imagine that you've been playing guitar for years and you're like, yeah, I'm pretty fucking good. And then that happens and you're like, shit.
In the early days, Eddie Van Halen, when playing a guitar solo, used to turn his back away from the his back to the audience so that they couldn't see what he was playing. Because he didn't want everybody to rip him off. Obviously they did.
Yeah.
Because people worked out what he was doing and then emulated it themselves. But it's massively, massively important. And I don't want to stick it on and listen to it all the time.
I mean, it's all very impressive technique-wise, but I just utterly hate it. And it just has me running for the off button.
To be fair, you hate it when people bend a nose.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we've established this.
Yeah, it is just
the moment someone
sounds like they know what they're doing, you're like, nah, fuck that guy. Fuck that guy.
But they had the fucking songs as well.
Yeah.
They were a fantastic pop rock metal band. And I mean, 1984 in particular, which was their final album with Dave Lee Roth,
yeah,
is a fucking perfect album. It is my go-to happy album. If you're ever in a bad mood, stick 1984 on. It's just over half an hour long. Most of their first lot of albums were only about half an hour long, and it's just you've got Jump on there, you've got Panama on there. You've got Hot for Teacher, you've got Our Weight. It's fucking brilliant.
You know, yeah. I didn't even realise it was called Panama. I'd never...
What did you think
it was? I don't know. I thought he was singing something like Had Enough.
There's quite a famous Mondegreen, which is a technical term for a misheard lyric,
uh-huh.
That shows up all the time with people thinking that he's singing padded bra.
Wow.
Which, fair enough, he probably, it's the kind of thing he probably would sing about.
Like maybe at some point in time he did sing that.
I can't work out what the rest of the song has got to do with Panama, so...
No. 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 I'm trying to think of the lyrics.
Well, most of it, it's sort of about his car, I think.
Yeah. And he can hardly see the road from the heat coming off.
Yeah. Lean back, ease the seat back, and all that bit. Incidentally, that section of the song... where you've got that guitar melody.
Yeah.
He's up there. I think it's in my top two best guitar melodies of all time.
Wow.
Along with Elodie by Lanterns on the Lake, which I like so much I named my daughter after it. So she could have been called Panama.
So...
So
that'll be your next child, then.
Yeah. It's probably...
Panama. It's good. It's a not non-gender specific name.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, works either way.
Yeah, you realise what you've done, Carl. You put a load of stuff where Rasputin likes to stand.
Well,
and
sorry, Rasputin.
Survey the outside world with distaste.
Well, tough. Sorry, yeah. Rasputin. We're recording. So, Rasputin the podcast. This is.
Yep, he's just
apparently
annoyed.
I've put stuff in his space. Rasputin, what do you think of Van Halen?
He loves Van Halen.
Excellent. That is the correct answer, Rasputin. Tracy is wrong.
Yeah, he's walking away from Tracy looking really annoyed.
I know, he normally comes and sits on my lap as well.
So,
don't diss Van Halen in front of Rasputin.
Him. Yeah, he doesn't like you anymore.
I just think they're so cheesy.
They are.
That's the point. That's the point.
Those fucking awful 80s keyboards.
They're great.
I've got to say, a lot of the stuff you put on the playlist, the keyboards were just, oh no.
I love it. It's fucking brilliant.
And the guitar wigging.
I knew the word wigging would appear.
Yep.
And the fucking awful lyrics. I didn't even realise how much I disliked this band until I had to sit through.
You hate fun. That's what it is.
Yeah, this is a band that are about fun. It's just party rock. There's nothing really serious going on until fucking Sammy Hagar turns up.
Do you know, I prefer Sammy Hagar's vocals
way more than
Dave Lee Roth.
It's because you hate fun.
Dave Lee Roth is such a caricature, though, isn't he?
Yeah, and he would admit that, absolutely.
I mean, well, the weird thing is, I enjoyed Dave Lee Roth more after he'd left Van Halen when he was doing the Just a Gigolo kind
what?
Of stuff.
What?
I thought that was funny.
Okay.
But Van Halen, I just can't bear it. And I spoke to a couple of people, and the general consensus is that their first two albums were brilliant. And
Van Halen 1 and 2 are fucking great. Yes, they went a little bit off after that, but then they came out with 1984. But I think there's a bit of an age thing with 1984. I think people who were originally fans of Van Halen for the first load of records didn't like it when 1984 came out with all the synthesizers and the big massive... I mean, they've got the massive pop choruses on earlier songs, but they really fucking dialed up the pop on that. And as it's a similar sort of timescale, I think a lot of those same people are like the... You know how you can tell somebody's age by whether or not they like Ewoks?
Yeah.
Because older Star Wars fans who were there for the first few albums were like, they thought that Ewoks were like Jar Jar Binks.
See, I don't even like Star Wars.
Why are we friends with you again?
I don't know, because Van Halen, it's not like I'm even missing a receptor or something. There's no way on earth I was ever going to like them, is it? Is there? You know, it's not like I'm going to have some kind of porcupine tree epiphany here.
The Motley Crue episode is going to be so much worse than this.
I don't mind Motley Crue, that, actually.
But the Van Halen are like Motley Crue, but groundbreaking.
Yeah.
I mean, at the point where I'd got to Hot for Teacher in the playlist, I was so pissed off that to calm down, I had to go and listen to the Aztec camera cover version of Jump.
Well, at least you were staying on program.
Yeah. And so I played that several times, and then I actually went and listened to the Driven Like the Snow cover of Jump.
Ah, that's fucking old. Yeah, I did that a very long time ago.
A very long time ago. and then it made me at least think, well, Van Halen could write a song. It's a good song.
The songs are fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
Because the Aztec Camera version and the Driven Like the Snow version are beautiful.
So you like it when it's played by me?
Yeah.
But when it's played by a really, really talented guitarist
and keyboard player.
Yeah. Like, admittedly, the guitar solo in Jump is a little bit out of place.
Yeah.
It does seem like at that point they were like, we've not had any guitars on the album yet. We'd probably better. We're known for our guitar playing.
Yeah. And it's like, but I've just done a fucking keyboard solo. I can't do it.
Yeah.
And the guitar. Oh, all right, fair enough. No problem.
I mean, I liked the Sammy Hagar stuff more because it didn't stray so much into the cheese. I read someone say that...
I like cheese.
I read someone say that Van Halen were Led Zeppelin for their generation.
Influential. Yes, yeah. Absolutely, yeah. But they've got better songs than Led Zeppelin.
Why Can't This Be Love? I like that song.
That's a fucking gauntlet down, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why Can't This Be Love is a brilliant song.
It is.
I had a bit of a sing-along to that one.
Yeah. And that's one that I still cover now.
And those keyboards, that's great.
Yeah.
But the bit that I don't like, I think you know the bit that I don't like in Why Can't This Be Love. That's Sammy Hagar singing along with the guitar line. Fucking Dave Lee Roth would not have done that.
Yeah, admittedly, Dave Lee Roth couldn't have done that.
He couldn't have done that.
He was an absolutely amazing frontman, not an amazing singer.
Yeah.
But he suited the band absolutely perfectly. The reason he's in the band was because they needed a PA system and he owned one. But they wouldn't have been as big as they were without Dave Lee Roth.
Oh, fuck no.
I'd love to go back in time and go to Van Halen in 1984, one of their arena shows.
Yeah.
That'd be absolutely amazing.
You know, Van Halen makes me think of the band Wild Stallions.
Yeah.
With Bill and Ted.
Yeah. Because I'm pretty sure they were based on them to an extent.
Yeah. Well, they were definitely influenced.
They go on about needing Eddie Van Halen through most of the film. But it's just pure cheese.
I'm sure Eddie Van Halen's got a cameo in the second one.
Probably.
Think you're right.
I think he's on stage with them at the end. It's a long time since I've seen it.
Playing a Kiss song. Which is also a cover.
Yeah, it was originally by Argent.
Yes.
Gave rock and roll to you. I've got the 7-inch single.
Is it not actually a Christian rock song?
I don't know.
I think Argent were like super religious.
Possibly.
So it's actually God.
Yeah.
Not when Kiss sing about it, when it's Paul Stanley.
Well, that's because Gene Simmons is in the band and refused to believe there is a higher power than himself.
Exactly.
Do you know, we didn't mention in the Teenage Fan Club episode...
Right.
So this is a footnote from an episode from, like, 3 episodes ago. The Bandwagon-esque album cover...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is it's like a pink backdrop with a yellow Moneybags cartoon drawn on it.
Yeah.
Gene Simmons had copyrighted that generic cartoon Moneybag symbol, and Geffen Records had to actually ask for permission so that Teenage Fan Club could use it.
Really? I didn't know that.
And I've been mixing that episode this week and realised that I forgot to say it.
Yeah, like, so Gene Simmons is all about the grind, all about the money. Like, he's a dick, but he's at least... a fairly shrewd businessman.
We're not too off topic talking about Gene Simmons because he discovered Van Halen.
Did he?
He did. Basically, they were a bar band playing. They were mostly playing covers around sort of California. Gene Simmons saw them and got them a record deal.
Well, that was nice of him.
They were, you know, I'm sure he made a fucking lot of money out of it.
Damn straight. Because Gene Simmons don't do anything that doesn't involve him earning a lot of money.
He probably originally tried to get them branded as Kiss Van Halen or something.
Kiss Halen.
Kiss Halen.
Van Kiss.
But yeah, they because they were a bar band and they were playing loads of covers, they had a few of their own songs in the set. The first few albums, in fact, the first five albums have all got covers on.
Yeah.
In fact, I think it's Women and Children First has got nearly half of the album is covers. And it's just their old stuff that they've got kicking around that they didn't want to waste. And they're like, let's just record it. I mean, yeah. You've got on Van Halen 1, you've got a cover of You Really Got Me by the Kinks. Yeah, yeah.
Which is a great cover.
Which is brilliant, yeah.
Who was that other big Christian rock band?
Winger?
Striper?
Striper, that's who I'm thinking of.
No, more King's X?
No, King's X aren't Christian.
I think they were.
I thought they were.
Really?
I'm fairly certain that they were.
Wow, yeah. I thought they were just like proggy and stuff. I've never really listened to them.
Yeah, I think they were. I could be wrong.
I saw them live once. Really good, actually.
Did they try and convert you?
They were really good. Really, really tight, musically tight.
Stop trying to talk about other bands.
Yeah.
We're talking about Van Halen.
Van fucking Halen. Like, a band so cool. Like, he's managed to turn himself into a brand. He's got his own amps, he's got his own guitars. He's
trainers?
Got, has he got
you can get that.
5150 trainers?
Yeah, the Frankenstrat, which is his really iconic guitar, which was a battered up old... Wasn't it a Kramer?
Yeah, it's a Kramer.
Strat copy, where he completely chipped the wood out of the way to fit a humbucker in there.
Yep.
Stripped it right down, put a Floyd Rose tremolo system in there, and then he'd done a paint job where he'd put bits of tape over it, spray painted it red, and then put black and white stripes going in different directions all over it. You can get trainers with that red, black and white.
That's pretty cool.
I'm quite tempted.
Yeah,
they're
same,
amazing. But
the 5150 amps are amazing.
Yes.
They've become the de rigueur metal amp.
Yeah.
I think they've overtaken dual rectifiers.
But then in the early days he was playing through a Marshall.
Yeah.
But to get us, he got a slightly unusual tone with it. He got this thing called a Variac.
Yeah, yeah. He was running it at a different voltage. So
yeah, basically it's a voltage control where you was it pushing more voltage in? I thought
yeah,
it was
yeah, it's
it.
more voltage into it, I think.
Right, okay.
Maybe. Just to give it more.
I'd misunderstood that. I thought that it was they were taking it a little bit of voltage out, and it was like where you've got a fuzz pedal with a staff.
I could be wrong.
Staff control.
I could be wrong.
It's what either way. He was running this Marshall amp with not the standard normal voltage level.
Yep.
Which is quite dangerous.
Super dangerous.
Don't
never
try
do
this
that.
At home, kids.
There's amps that just sound like that.
Yes.
Now.
You can get
buy those instead.
Like
well, speaking of danger. I actually did look up one Van Halen story.
Only one? There's fucking loads.
Yeah. But it's the one about their rider.
Right. See, can I just mention something about this first of all?
Okay.
Because, so, yeah, everybody knows about the fact that Van Halen used to have brown M&Ms with all the brown ones removed on the rider. Now, I think that... Now, just as well known as that story is the actual reason why. Do you know the actual reason why?
I know a reason why people do things like that with riders.
Right, it is that reason. That's what Trace is about to tell us. I think it's really well known, but I'm not sure.
I don't know. I mean, they had this ridiculous rider request that they had M&Ms with all of the brown ones removed. But Dave Lee Roth said in an interview that... They wrote it in, and they actually had in the small print that if they didn't comply, the whole fee would be forfeit. But he said the reason was they were the first band to take this huge lighting rig and this huge stage set around the country. And at the time, it was like the biggest production ever. And the most venues were too outdated or unprepared to handle such a sophisticated setup.
Yeah.
And he said if he got into the dressing room and saw brown M&Ms on the catering table, he knew they hadn't read the small print about his lighting setup and they'd have to do a serious check
was important,
of everything.
What was important is this brown M&Ms stipulation was in the middle of the tech specifications.
Yeah.
So he knew that they hadn't read the tech specifications.
Yeah.
It is a way of proving.
Yeah, and everyone thought they were being dicks, but they're not. They're just being careful, which is...
It was totally a safety thing, because they're this huge...
But it has inspired ridiculous rider requests from loads of other people. Yes. Like, there's a guy we know who is the tour manager for Sick of It All, who on tour asks for a framed photo of Gary Busey at every gig.
And he gets them occasionally.
Yes, he does. And normally tweets them to Gary Busey, who retweets it when he gets them.
Which is awesome.
But there's so many... You say you've got one Van Halen story. There's so many, particularly... They're normally Dave Lee Roth stories.
Yeah. I think the rest of the band were just like... They'd like to drink and that's about it.
Well, I mean, there was a Henry Rollins quote where he called Dave
Rollins Lee. Fucking loves Van Halen so much.
Really?
Yeah, he fucking loves them.
Of course he does. He's got good taste. So he called...
Does he like fun?
Yes.
Rollins does like fun.
He does. He likes to pretend that he doesn't.
Yeah.
But yeah, he called Dave Lee Roth a bleach blonde Mark Twain because everything he says is a quote that you can put somewhere. So, for example, I used to have a drug problem, but I have money now. And money can't buy happiness, but it can buy a giant yacht that I can pull up right next to happiness.
Yep.
He basically speaks like fridge magnets.
Yeah. Just like...
But,
you don't hear many stories about him being a dick, though, do you? Like...
No.
Not like a bad dick.
You kind of hear that if it's Eddie Van Halen talking.
Yeah.
But then most people in the world realise that Eddie Van Halen is a fucking twat. He's a horrible, horrible person.
Yeah.
Which
is why his son is now the bass player.
Yeah. They got rid of Michael Anthony because Michael Anthony had his own opinions.
Yep.
And brought Wolfgang Van Halen in on bass because then it's basically the Van Halen family plus... Normally Dave Lee Roth these days, but they've, you know, occasionally had Sammy Hagar back. Don't tend to have Gary Cherone back.
Weirdly.
I wonder why that is. But yeah, Dave Lee Roth, there was an incident where Eddie Van Halen had been... So this is a bit of an Eddie story as well. I was listening to a podcast with their old tour manager, who's put a book out recently. Sometime in the last few years, and he was telling various stories from it.
Right.
And one of them was Eddie Van Halen had got hit with a paternity suite.
Okay.
And he was really panicking because he was just about to get married, and he was like, "Oh, if my wife finds out, I'm going to be in trouble and stuff like that."
Yeah.
And then he realised that actually he'd only ever had blowjobs from this woman, yet he still thought that it might be legitimate. So had to have it explained to him that no, they can't get pregnant that way. So at the same time, Dave Lee Roth was panicking a little bit because he'd been engaging in that kind of activity a hell of a lot more than everybody else. So went to the road manager and asked if they could get him paternity insurance.
Wow.
Unfortunately, they couldn't, but they just put out a story anyway that he had. Just so that it could get in all of the papers and generate more publicity. So, they also used to they were playing massive arenas, and they used to insist on being paid in cash on the night at the venue, and then they used to have one of the road crew would stay behind when everybody else went off in the tour bus.
Yeah.
So he'd stay behind with all the cash so that he could go to a bank at 9 o'clock the next morning as soon as it opened and. Paying like 10 grand or whatever it was.
That's crazy.
Is that not a huge security risk?
Yeah, but it was just a little... I think you quite often get this. You'll have the security over there, and then over here you've got somebody that just looks like a normal roadie, and that's the person that's got all the cash.
Yeah.
So you've got the security the other side of the...
Yeah, because obviously when you're doing merch, you've always got like thousands of pounds worth of merch.
Yeah, that's true.
The Rollins.
Rollins. It was the Lollapalooza podcast, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, we see these two people looking really, really stressed out that would never hang out with anyone else, and that's because they'd got bags full of merch money.
All of the because basically the Lollapalooza Festival, they made more money in T-shirts than ticket sales.
That's most gigs nowadays,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Like most large tours are just all merch.
Yeah.
Now.
And yeah, Henry Rollins and Henry and Heidi podcast is definitely worth listening to.
Yes, yes, it is.
I've listened to all of them. They need to make more.
Yep. He has such good stories.
Yeah.
I had to give that a listen.
They're all great, definitely. And there was also Van Halen, talking about T-shirts as well. One of their tours, they went outside and saw all the guys selling the bootleg T-shirts.
Yeah.
And rather than just stopping them, they basically went over to them with a load of their crew in a "we're going to beat the shit out of you" kind of way.
Yeah.
And cut a deal with them. And the bootleg T-shirt guys came on tour with them. And Van Halen just got a cut of all the T-shirt sales from the bootleg guys as well.
That's crazy. It's good work.
Utter genius.
Yeah.
But they've just got such brilliant songs.
Yeah. Life-affirming is what they are.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just... You know, if you're feeling down, put some Van Halen on. And particularly if you're driving somewhere. In your car, really loud. 1984 yeah. particularly. But any of the first six albums...
Like, if you're out drinking anywhere and then Van Halen comes on, the night gets better.
Yeah,
it does.
I'm sure it does. I don't know, because I don't drink. But I do like Van Halen, so I think that might be the equivalent.
Of drinking?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Tracy's looking sceptical.
I'd rather drink.
Anything else anybody wants to say?
No, I'm done.
I think we're done with that. I'm going to go and listen to Van Halen. So
I'm going to go and listen to King Creosote.
Fuck's sake.
I know what I'd rather choose, and I like King Creosote, but Van Halen is so much better.
I 100% know what I'd choose. Because I'd rather fucking sandpaper my bollocks than listen to King Crimson again.
So, next episode is the letter W. Can't believe how quickly that's come round.
So, Will Smith.
That's yes.
Fuck off. When, Will I Am.
When I put.
Will
was just sweet. I very nearly put a picture of Will Smith up with the S episode for the Smiths. I was going to put him and his family.
Nice.
But yeah, no, what we'll actually be talking about for the letter W is. White Zombie.
And Wagner.
And the White Stripes. So it's all very white. Yep. Much like the mysterious powder under Dave Lee Roth's nose.
And Morrissey's Perfect Country.
yeah, so, we've been We Dig Music. Bye!
Bye!
Amazing, and that was recorded.
Wow, and that's why you don't put little fucking beady strings on your glasses.
Not when you're wearing headphones, no.
Just in general.
It's so I don't lose them.
They're on your face.